Welcome everyone once again to FBC Pastors Talk, and we are so excited. We're part of Faith Bible Church, and I'm here with Pastor Jared once again. We've been doing these week in and week out Pastors Talk for a church, kind of in place of what we call our teaching time at our church. And so this week we're really excited, first of all, because it's our first live Pastors Talk that we've gotten to do, but especially this week, and I'll share that with you in a moment why. But typically, we don't feel as a church that we need to respond to every single nook and cranny of every news cycle and things that come across our screen. And we want to keep the focus week in and week out at Faith Bible Church on the gospel. And the gospel is central, and that Jesus is the response to every need and chaos and difficulty and struggle in life that any of us have. With that said, there are times, though, where we kind of step back. And with what is going on in the culture and in the world around us, we feel it's important for not us, but more importantly, the Word of God to speak into what's going on in the world around us. And to think through as Christians, how do we respond and think and live in light of whatever that may be that's taking place? And obviously, I think we would all agree, we believe that the continued racial tension that's taking place in our society is more than worthy of our time right now. And it's more than worthy of our time, not only for consideration, but also for action. And so we think it's important to step back. And because of that, it's more than an honor and a privilege to welcome in two dear brothers in Christ from the Word of God Community Church here in Canton, Ohio. And so with us today, we have Pastor Dr. David Kinlow and Elder Adrian McNeil to help us in our conversation today. And so it's a privilege to be in their building with them and to just speak into these things. And so in a lot of ways, you know, Pastor Jared and I just come in as we want to be learners and we want to listen. And again, it's just a privilege to be here with them. We know that this this discussion that we're about to have can be uncomfortable, right? Or even a little awkward, as we have two black brothers in Christ and two white brothers in Christ. They're going to talk about things and discuss things such as social tension, race and racism, police brutality, and much more that we'll get into. And we also know, though, that when we get into some of these uncomfortable situations, we tend to grow in Christ and depend on Christ that much more. And so because of that, we embrace the discomfort today, and we want you to embrace it with us. And so once again, we're excited to welcome these dear brothers in Christ, Pastor David Kinlow and Elder Adrian McNeil. And so let's go ahead and get into it, guys. You know, first, I just want to start by asking you guys, you know, first to give us a little background about yourself. Dr. Kinlow, if you go first, give us a little background about yourself, your upbringing, your family makeup now, and kind of what brought you into the ministry today.
Sure. Well, my name is Pastor David Kinlow. As you all know, I'm a native of Canton, Ohio. 61 years old, married to a lovely woman named Terry, daughter of one Maya. She's 27. This is my 33rd year as lead pastor of Word of God Community Church. Came to know the Lord as my Savior at around 18 years of age. So that's been a while ago. I come from a generation of preachers. My father was a pastor. His father was a pastor. His uncles were pastors. So I come from a long line of preachers and pastors. And so one way or the other, I've been connected with the church all of my life. But after I came to know the Lord at 18, you know, just sort of got the call and got the urge and the desire. And was ordained, I believe, at 25 years old, and I started pastoring this church when I was 28. And so this is where I've been for all of these years. And as far as I know, I'll be here.
So then you were pastoring here, but then I know you at some point you went back to school, right, a couple times and pursued some...
I did my undergraduate work at the University of Akron. And for a brief period of time, I was in the undergraduate program at the University of Akron, in business management. At this particular time, I was working with the bank, Harder Bank back then Key, Harder Bank, then Society Bank. It's Key Bank now, but so I did that for a while. Eventually went back to seminary, Bethany Theological Seminary, master's in theology, pastoral studies, etc. And I pastored for a long time. There was a special program at a school called Masters. Back then it was called Masters International School of Divinity. I think it's called Masters University of Divinity. It's out of Evansville, Indiana. And they had a special program for pastors at least 45 years of age, been 20 years full-time ministry, a doctoral program. And so it was 3 years, and so I took that. And I finished that when I was about 53 years old. And so here I am today, still fiddling around with that, still working on the second doctorate. It's going slow in ancient history and Greek, biblical and ancient history and Greek studies. So, but that one's going real, real slow. So I guess I'm a perpetual student.
Amen. Well, I mean, it's just an honor to have you. Thank you so much. And then what about you, brother? What's your kind of upbringing and family?
Yeah, born and raised here in Canton, Ohio. My great-grandfather moved here from the south to work in the brickyards in Waynesburg, Ohio, and then our family just migrated and stayed. I grew up Catholic, but my parents kind of bounced around from churches to church, and then by the time I was between 15 and 16, my parents found Word of God Community Church and started bringing me here, me and my sister. I always tell people I was kind of like that rap song in Lecrae's album. He said I was a drug baby because my grandma drugged me to church, or my mom and dad drugged me to church. But Pastor Kinlow's sermons have always stuck with me, and I wasn't even a believer when I was coming here. It was probably almost 20 years ago. I just kind of had an epiphany that I need the Lord in my life, and I need to serve Him and not myself. And that I was like sitting at home one night by myself. I think I called my mom up in tears because I just came to the conclusion that I was a rock gut sinner. My mom was like, "Why are you crying?" And I had some stumbling steps to get through some growing pains, but I'm married now. My wife Rochelle. We have five children, three girls and two boys, and been faithfully coming. When we got married, I wanted my family in church. I was working two jobs at the time. That's what I was saying. I didn't come on Sunday because I worked 7 days a week. So I quit both my jobs just to be able to come to church on Sunday. And I talked to him a couple times because that's where my heart, I want my family in church. I want to be in church. And just over the last probably 16 years, I've really just grown. And pastor graciously made me an elder this fall of 2020. And I love this congregation. I love this church. I love Pastor Kinlow. And I don't think I could serve anywhere else. I mean, the Lord would have to really make it. It has to be something like a supernatural thing for me to realize to go someplace else. Even when I look at my daughter, who's 16 years old, and her understanding of the scriptures just from coming to church on Sunday and Sunday school class is beautiful. So that's my story.
So you're married, your dear wife, and then how many children you have?
Five children, three girls and two boys.
Okay, amen, amen. Well, yeah, we just want to ask you guys, and so how have you guys experienced racism growing up and now, and then what forms do you see it taking place today?
Well, you have to remember, I've been around for a few years, not real, real old, not real young. At 61, my parents migrated here from the state of Arkansas. And so, of course, they came up from, Jim Crow South. And I can distinctly remember as a boy, we would travel back to visit my grandfather, and then he stayed in Arkansas in a little town called Dumas. And so I remember when after we would travel a certain distance, and back then I didn't know it was the Mason-Dixon line, but once you get past that area, I remember when we would stop to get gasoline or something. I remember, you know, we would have to go out into the woods or weeds behind the gas station to, you know, use the restroom. I remember my mom would always pack plenty of food because you couldn't stop and get anything to eat. And so, you know, I distinctly remember those things. I grew up as a little boy in virtually a all-white neighborhood. I think there was another black family there. And I didn't know this until a little later on, but my parents moved there in 1960. But before they moved there, when people found out there was a black family moving in, you know, they got a petition to keep us out. But there was one family just refused. And so I remember my parents telling me that. I remember being called the N-word quite a bit in my neighborhood. I've had some experience with that. I've been pulled over by police. You know, go to a certain town, get a personal escort all the way through. One time it was kind of bad, though. My father and I, he passed, and we were hunters. And so we were actually going deer hunting, and there was quite a few hunters waiting to go into the woods. You know, once time you could go in. But the game warden came by, and he checked everyone else's license and permits, which is you're supposed to do. But for my father and I, we got special treatment. We had to empty our pockets. We had to take off all of our clothes down to our, you know, shirt and pants. And we were spread across the hood and padded down. And so, you know, I remember that distinctly. And I was just a teenager then. So I have had some experience with that. But I must confess, you know, it hasn't been day to day, week to week. And I guess I'm to the point now, I don't pay a lot of attention to it personally. I have had occasion where, you know, you go into the store and they follow you around and you just kind of get used to it. And depending on how I'm feeling that day, I may say something like, you know, don't worry, I'm not here to take anything. Or I'll say like, can I help you? Because I know they're following me. So I have had some of that. By the grace of God, though, I can honestly say I'm not angry by any of that. I know it's there. I try to address it when it's there. But I'm just not an angry black man. I'm not that. So I don't know if that's unique or not. But and I could probably go on and on, but I have had those experiences. So.
You know, I was born in the 70s, so I know about the civil rights movement. I've had people call me the N-word. I've had situations where people have assumed I was guilty. You know, as someone once told me, because I was big and burly. I don't know what that means. My situation is a little bit unique. My dad was born in Ohio, but my mother was from Mississippi. So when my mother came here, she really didn't know anybody. So she was one of the first African-American female truck drivers for United Parcel Service. Three women became friends with her. They were all Caucasian. I grew up as a 5-6-year-old calling these white women my aunts. So if you were to come to my house and these ladies were here, I would introduce you to my aunts, not my mother's friends. As I stated earlier, I grew up Catholic, so my godparents are Caucasian. And so they've been a part of my life. When I, they've been to this church to visit. So I don't have hatred for white folks because most of my experience in my life, you know, at my birthday parties, my graduation parties, It was mainly Caucasians that were there to support me. Not saying there weren't blacks too, but I'm just saying as part of my life, I had both ethnic groups. And I don't know if I've shared this with Mike or not. I don't even like to address people as black and white, because if I say, hey, I was with Mike Brown today, and you don't know who he is, by telling you that he's a European Caucasian doesn't help you know who he is. So I don't really like those terms. But I'm sure Dr. Kendall would agree, you know, the issue is sin. I believe in Acts 17 and 26, God created from one flesh of man all nations of men, all ethnic groups. He chose where we would live. Us being here today is the sovereignty of God. We're not here by accident. God was working this out long before any of us stepped on the scene. So, like past, I'm not angry. And, you know, when I went to the Army, a brief time when I was away from the church, I had hooked up with a guy who was he was a Muslim, but from the Middle East, and we were good friends. I mean, I had studied the Quran and done different little things, and the two things I would say is that Christ's atonement is true, and that even no matter your ethnicity, my position is if you hate a black man, if you hate a white man, or someone who's Asian or Hispanic, that is a true reflection of your hatred of God, because we are made in God's image. And God says, how can I not love you and say I love him? And so my background is just different. I don't know too many blacks who have, you know, three Caucasian aunts, godparents that are Caucasian, are still active in my life. And my aunts and uncles, you know, that grew up in this racial tension in America from the 50s, 40s, and 60s, you know, I love them. I believe they know the Lord, but it's just it's a hang up. And so we have to pray that God will see them through it.
The hatred, use that term, and, we would all agree that racism still takes place today. Amen. Right. In some capacity. Mm-hmm. And, so with that said, let's get into obviously a recent event, tragic event, that of George Floyd. So what's your response as Christians to, first of all, to the situation itself?
Yeah. Well, I would like to think of myself as one who has a biblical worldview at all times. And just being honest, when I first saw the video of the policeman with his knee on George Floyd's neck, the first thing that went to my mind is how totally depraved man really is, and how this is how that radical depravity, I mean, this is what it can bring out of. Not just the policeman, but it's all of us. We all have that capability. I mean, it's there. And so that's the first thing I've thought of, how man is capable of doing anything. And I guess what disturbed me was, to me, the cavalier way it was being done. I mean, he had his knee on his neck, and I don't know, maybe I didn't read faces correctly, but he didn't look... He looked pretty relaxed, and so that's the first thing I thought. A lot of grief for George Floyd's family, and especially because, you know, they watched their loved one's life be taken. They could watch it on video, and they can see that over and over and over. But also a sense of grief for the families of the police officers who committed that. One charge and one with accessories. And I don't think people think about this, because their lives have been forever changed by this also. And so, you know, I know that they are impacted by this in addition. And so, you know, two families will never be the same. So I thought about that. And I wondered if George Floyd knew Christ as his Savior. And what really made me think that is, in our community, And I want to be careful with broad brushing everybody, but many in our community believe that being a victim is automatic salvation. If you get killed in a tragic way, in a racist crime or something like that, you know, many of our people, for whatever reason, they think that's automatic entrance into heaven, man. You're hurled automatic into the conscious presence of God. And I think one of the things that lets us know many of us think this is I've seen many portraits and murals of George Floyd with a halo over his head and angel's wings coming out of his back. So, you know, I don't know him, but I really pray that he knew Christ as his Savior, because if he didn't, you know, he suffered a horrible, tragic death, but it just hurled him into an eternity, eternally separated from God in torment. So I thought about that also. And I was really afraid of the anger and what was to come. And it unfortunately it has. And so here we are today.
Obviously we grieve for the loss of life, specifically in his case. As I talked to Pastor Kinlow about it, you know, I don't want to believe that this officer had been set on a mission that day to take a life. And you know, Pastor Kinlow talks all the time about sin is like dynamite. You could drop kick it one day, nothing. The next day you could barely touch it, blow up half the block. And so it just, to me, it shows that we don't have all the facts and all the details. And so as I talked to Pastor Kinlow about it, I said, you know, if the store clerk was incorrect, they set all these events in motion that cost somebody their life. If George was trying to pass a $20 bill that wasn't real, he triggered a set of events that changed everybody's life. So no matter how you look at it, it's a tragic situation. You know, I pray that the officer's intent was not to take a life, though, because when sin is involved and things go out of whatever it is you think it should be, you don't control the consequences. And the optics of it did not look good. I mean, if I'm holding David down on the ground with my hand in my pocket with my knee on his neck like it's another day, it just don't look good. So we have to lift everyone up in prayer. I pray that justice comes out of this, that the truth comes out, and that the proper sentencing is done.
Dr. Kinlow was talking, I mean, you have all these perspectives. You have George Floyd's family.
Yep.
You have the police officer's family.
Yes.
And then obviously now you have this outflow that's just taking place. And obviously with social media and technology and stuff, it's, you know, it's just this massive outflow of the situation. And so what's your response to, what's your thoughts that go through your mind? I mean, obviously we can click on the screen every day. We can listen to the radio. I mean, there's just something new every day that's taking place. And so it's almost hard to get our arms around in our humanness. Mm-hmm. But what's you guys' response to all that that's going on?
Well, you know, I want to stress the point that Elder Adrian brought up, that ultimately, you know, we need to understand this is a result of sin. Mm-hmm. One way or the other, it's sin. Mm-hmm. And so these are the consequences, you know, of that. So I really want to stress that, because a lot of Christians, they lose sight of that. And when you lose sight of that, you lose sight of the fact that ultimately the answer is the gospel. So I want to stress that. But, you know, I do believe people have a right to peacefully protest. You know, we have that right under the Constitution. But then after that, you know, I must be candid. I am disgusted with the rioting, disgusted with the looting, disgusted with the stealing as a result of this,
the killing that has occurred,
the killings. It has enabled many to bring out a hatred that's always been there. You know, You know, there's a verse in the Bible, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And what it's saying is adversity brings about what's already there. So it's enabled people to stress a lot of hate, and society has validated it. And we never can do that. Equally disgusted at how all the various groups have used this to further, and I'm just going to be honest, godless agendas. To me, which are just insane. I think dismantling law enforcement agencies is insane. It's also contrary to Romans 13. They're using this as political leverage. With me, when you start talking about politics, I'm just going to be honest. To me, it's the deck chairs of the Titanic. I mean, doesn't make any difference whether you're on the left side or right side. You know, when God is removed from the equation, you're not going to get that, which is good. I'm also disheartened over persons of color who have swept with a broad brush every non-white person. You're all evil. You're all prejudiced. You all hate black people. And, you know, any sane person has to know that that can't be true. I think there are a lot of ignorances on both sides to one another. And, you know, it has caused us to think incorrectly about one another. But I do think, you know, discussions like this help with alleviating that. So I believe all of us are sinners. We know that. But I don't think everybody consciously runs around just hating other people. I don't believe that. That's not been my experience. And so there's just a lot. Really disheartened that white people are. Some white people have been kneeling before black people, asking for forgiveness and repenting of something that went on 150 years ago. First and foremost, I'm a preacher, and so I always go to the scriptures. And, you know, and I got into a discussion with this with somebody the other day. Yes, they should bow. Well, to me, that's idolatry, because we shouldn't be bowing before any woman.
Only bend the knee to Christ.
You know, Ezekiel 18:20, you know, you read that, I think the first 30 verses of Ezekiel 18, and it deals with this. You know, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. So, asking you guys to, you know, will you forgive me about something? I don't know. I don't know what your great, 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 great grandfather did. To me, it's unbiblical. And I always think, you know, when the solution is unbiblical, nothing good is going to become of it. And to me, that smacks of idolatry, that you would have someone kneeling before you. So I'm disgusted at that. So, you know, I guess I've said enough today. Well, both sides will hate me. Who cares, huh?
And if you don't mind me just piggybacking Pastor Kinlow, you know, this conversation is obviously to equip believers to handle these tough situations. So I don't necessarily expect an unbeliever to understand his position. But there are some within the African-American community, there's nothing that white people can do to make up, appease, for what happened in this country during slavery and Jim Crow. I saw somebody the other day, the 77-year-old sheriff who got killed. This is how asinine this stuff is. Now, here you have a retired African-American sheriff. He was the leader of a sheriff's department working for a buddy, protecting his property from looters. And somebody killed him. And I saw somebody say, you know, this is the problem. Why is there a 77-year-old man who's a sheriff working for somebody as a security guard? I'm like, well, what does it matter? He's doing a job. Maybe it's his friend. I mean, how many times has somebody called me up as a friend to do something for them? And I say, I'll do it. It doesn't justify murdering somebody. And so people want to make excuses for the sinful behavior of others. And that is something that we need to stop. And I'm talking about to the Christian. We need to, when we see sin, we need to call it sin. We need to stand our ground and don't stand alone. If you go out there and say, this is sin, I need to stand with you, not call you up on the phone and say, well, Pastor Brown, I believe in everything you're saying. Then come out here. Don't call him on the phone. Go stand with him publicly. You know, when you're in a foxhole in combat, you want your man beside you to be in that combat hole, ready to prepare to fight, not in the mess hall cooking up dinner, talking about, well, I'll be there if you need me or when you know. Be there now.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm disheartened with Christians who want someone to kneel before them and confess sins of past generations, because I know it's unbiblical. And as Christians, first and foremost, we need to be asking, is what we are doing biblical?
Because the same sin nature that was in Adolf Hitler is in all of us. The right conditions, the right circumstances, we all could end up in that situation that George Floyd found himself in. No matter, and he could be 100% innocent. And that's why I said the store clerk could have made a mistake. Maybe it wasn't a fake 20, because at this point we really don't know. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be wise. We can't just go through tearing up my neighborhood because we're mad at you. Because they ain't coming to North Canton and Jackson Township rioting. They coming to my neighborhood marching through the streets, you know. So we have to use wisdom and wisdom. And we need to be patient. We need to be kind. We need to be long-suffering. And I know some people don't like that. But we have to do that because, you know, I was talking to Pastor, and this might not be, I really wasn't sure how to say it, but I was telling Pastor, I was thinking about when Dinah was raped in Genesis, I think 34, and Jacob made a deal for Dinah to marry the man who offended her. But his brothers went behind her, his sons went behind him and murdered all the men in the city. And I'm like, you know, these men were justified to be angry, but they disobeyed their father. And their father said, because of your action, you brought shame upon me. And so we have to think these things through. We as Christians cannot be out looting. We can't be destroying people's property and burning down buildings. We have to stand up for what's right. And if you used to be a looter and a rioter, then repent. Stop, and then call other people to repent and stop.
We want to thank you so much for joining us. What a special time we've had with these dear brothers in Christ on this first pastor's talk on this subject matter. It's very difficult at times, and so we want to encourage you to join us next week for part two.
This is Pastor David Kinlow. For more information about the Word of God Community Church, you can call us at 330-454-7313, or you can visit us online, www.ogcchurch. It's really ogcchurch.org. Thank you.
To learn more about the Word of God Community Church, you can find us on YouTube at WOGC Church and on Facebook at WOGC Church. All are welcome. Please feel free to come and worship with us and fellowship with us and grow in Christ. Amen.